This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. The human form is a common subject in art. Across cultures and throughout history, the human body has proved fascinating. So what does examination of the human form tell us about ourselves? And why are nudes controversial? Dan Smith is a Durham-based photographer. He set out to explore these questions in his latest project. His discoveries are on display at the Carrick Modern in Durham. It's an exhibit called Bare, Conversations on Human Art and Oral Histories on the Nude. And Dan Smith joins us now. Welcome, Dan.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you for having me.
How long have you been interested in nudes and photographing nudes?
Honestly, since I was 12. When I was a small child, I used to play around with my parents' camera. When I was 12, they'd gotten tired of trying to figure out where their camera had walked off to and gave me one of my own. And along with that camera, they gave me a book. And in the back of that book had a bunch of different photographic assignments, candids, street photography, sports, but there was a page on the nudes. As a 12-year-old boy, of course, I was fascinated by that. But after a couple of weeks and the hormones subsided, I saw the nude as a challenge, as something that you take the body, which is, you know, everybody's familiar with the body, what it looks like. You take light, the body, and you make something that no one's ever seen before and do it well. And that challenge is what propelled me. Finally, when I was 18 and in college, I took a photo course so I'd have some darkroom time. And I spoke to one of the professors about the opportunity to make some nudes, but do it early enough for the assignment that if it was terrible, he could tell me to do something else.
Wait, I get the attraction to nudes as a 12-year-old boy. The aesthetic, however, that really was part of your – I mean, you began to see this was an artistic challenge.
It was. I saw that, you know, skin and bone structure and musculature is extremely difficult to photograph well. You have to know what you're doing. And that technical challenge, seeing that, you know, if I could do it and do it well, then I must be a decent photographer then. You know, at least that was my thinking when I was 12 through 18, 19.
Photography, a relatively recent art with the dawn of that technology, and yet this has appealed to artists since the dawn of art, it would seem to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, in researching this, trying to understand myself, trying to understand why I was fascinated by the body as a subject matter, you know, I came across the fact that the oldest human artwork, they're 40,000 years old, but they're figure nudes. And they're physical figures that are actually older than the cave paintings. Everybody keeps saying, but the cave paintings are older. But these figures in Germany are 40,000, 37,000 years old. We really actually don't understand the role that they played in those cultures. But as a species, it's been driving us for, you know, 40 millennia.
It does also suggest a kind of self-consciousness and a sort of an awareness of the observer, which I suppose it is an interesting moment in the dawn in the evolution of human history as well.
Well, for me, part of my reason, at least I think why, you know, my theory, working with the body as it is and speaking with the 54 artists whose interviews are on display, is that there's an element with the nude where it's timeless. There's no cultural clues. There's no socioeconomic clues. You know, it kind of transcends history and culture. And we can see ourselves in that person, in that body, even if they don't speak the same language. They don't have the same socioeconomic status or the same cultural heritage.
There are three parts to your project. Tell us about those.
Well, the first is a little straightforward. It's 16 photographs. They're my original artwork. It's my first solo exhibition. And that's kind of exciting. The second, and this is really what drove the show and what drove me to the Carrick, is that it's a video installation of five different displays. Each one has 10 unique clips on it. There are interviews with artists of all sorts. And I consider models as much an artist as painters and sculptors and photographers and illustrators and choreographers. But interviews with them about their experiences and their theories on why they work with the nude. And then the third part, because I believe the viewer is as critical to the experience of the artwork, is an opportunity for the people who come to the show to record their own experiences, to add to that archive, that interview, as well as some events that I've held in the space where I've asked the public really to engage artists, both myself and artists who've donated their time to come and speak in public.
Well, the other two parts, the last two parts of your project, speak to your interest in the sort of who cares part of it. I mean, you could be happily taking these photographs as an artist, but you began to wonder why other people were engaged in this, both as consumers and as artists. When did that question start rattling about?
I would say it started when I was living in Washington, D.C. I'm from Durham originally, but I went to D.C. for college and stuck around there for about 8 years. And I was occasionally working with the figure. You know, it wasn't great work. It wasn't really a drive. And but I found that I was uncomfortable telling people that I worked with the figure. And once I moved back to Durham and got married and had a job, I found again that I was uncomfortable telling people, despite the fact that almost every weekend or some weeknight evenings I was consumed with making art. And I wanted to figure that out myself, you know, why that drove me. And so speaking with these other artists helped me have some insight into myself. And then I felt that these conversations, while they were fascinating, you know, left an important person out, and that's the viewer. And so that's where the genesis of this came from. You know, these kind of circular conversations were great, but I wanted outside, non-artist types to speak.
Well, when you did talk to at least one photographer, she talked about a turning point in her work as a photographer when she discovered nudes. Let's listen.
The workshop that I did was in an old distillery building. And I think I paid, like, the workshop was like 9 to 3, and I was there until like 7 o'clock that night. And I, you know, I had all these models that I shot individually after the workshop, and I couldn't wait to get home and look at these images and process them and like get feedback on them. And it was the most amazing day of my life. I literally physically felt something change inside of me. Like, I called my mom from the parking lot coming home, and I was like, I found my thing.
But did she tell her mom what her thing was?
She did.
Yeah.
She did. She actually goes on in that interview to talk about her relationship with her teenage children and how that's changed once they understood that she was making nudes.
What did you find so difficult about telling people that you were doing this?
I guess reactions. I was afraid that people would think differently of me, people who had known me for years, that it would color their interpretation of me. And that kind of societal reaction also, that kind of zeitgeist reaction that growing up in the South is part of what drove this as well, trying to examine that.
And so we can't disentangle our sense of the erotic from the artistic representation of the human form. So here's this is the big question. This is the sort of what is pornography? I don't know how to define it, but I know it when I see it, that kind of thing. But beyond that, I mean, as an artist now who's had time to really look at these figures, is there a way to take the eroticism, or do you even want to, out of a nude? And when is it there? How does the pornographer make sure that it is indeed part of the portrait?
I think you've been reading one of my scripts. That's one of the questions I actually post to everybody else, and I avoided having to answer that question. But basically, for me, it comes down to intent. I have work that is extremely, the term is demure. You know, yes, someone's in it and they're nude, but you don't see anything. And I have other work that is very brazen, but at the same time, not necessarily erotically charged. You know, I think it comes down to what you expect the person who's viewing it, how their reaction. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, at least in my own mind, I try to avoid eroticism. I try to avoid heavy sexual imagery in my photographs because I think, at least personally, that it short circuits the brain. You know, if you're focused on something being sexually charged or erotic, you're not necessarily going to think about the other, you know, concepts that are at play in the image.
And what kind of reactions have you been getting?
I've been fortunate. I was terrified that, you know, before the show opened, that people were going to walk in, turn on their heels, and walk right back out. And instead, people have come in, they've walked through the space, they've listened to the interviews, and they've wanted to engage me and other people that they've been there with in that conversation, which is really the point.
You talked with a dancer about her views on the human form. Let's listen.
I believe in all humans, it's kind of subconscious. It's in our DNA. We come from the female body. We breastfeed as babies. So our natural attraction, especially to the female form, I think exists more on a subconscious level. It's in our DNA. And then that opens us up to, you know, our conscious observation of the female form and seeing it in a very idealized way.
And so that gets back to your idea that the intention of the artist in many ways can certainly shape how we're going to view this if you come to it as with the idea that this is an idealized form. Is it idealized, though? What is your intention? Is it something that sort of mirrors the mirror of the divine form, or are we bodies? Are we bodies on earth that live, die, and decay?
Theology aside, and being a Duke student, I guess I could probably talk on theology for a while.
You can do that. It's a religious school, they say. Didn't you know that?
For me, I see the body as a reaction, as a reflection of personality. I don't idealize. A lot of times when you see nudes out there, particularly nowadays, and we're inundated with it with the internet, there's an amazing forum, out there to review and see art of all sorts. But
there are a lot of nudes on the internet, is what you're saying. Yes, are. Yes, we know.
Not all of them are porn, but there's some fascinating art online. But 9 times out of 10, the work that becomes socially popular on social media is idealized people, very skinny, young, beautiful, attractive. Not to say that if you're not beautiful, but I like working with people. I'm proud to say that I've had people walk up to me in the show and ask me who the photographer is for one particular photograph, not realizing that the variety of the people in the photos and the variety of the work, it encompasses all of my work. And, my work is highly dependent on the other person in the photograph. And so I have people who are in there, there are people from 18 to mid-60s, I won't say how old, out of deference to them. Every race, there are men and women in the show. There are people who are probably on the skinny side, and there are people who weigh well over 300 pounds. And, I think the human body's beautiful. I think it's a reflection of how beautiful humanity is through our diversity.
You are also a social scientist, and I wonder how that influenced your work as an interviewer as you went around gathering this data, this information.
Well, so I'm a self-taught photographer. And I guess I'm also a self-taught documentarian now. And self-taught is a shorthand for I've made a lot of mistakes. When I started this originally, this project's been going for 2 years, but in earnestness, it's been going for 4. I didn't trust my ability to tell a story. I didn't trust my ability as an artist. And so I relied on my social science background. I'm a political scientist. And social science interview structures. And so I wrote a very rigid script, went through the IRB process at Duke, and found at the other side of it, after 25 interviews, that I had missed the mark completely because I didn't know what to ask. I didn't know these people, and I didn't let myself have the freedom to ask the questions that were really important. And so a lot of stories that were amazing never made it on the camera. And I walked away from it for about a year and decided it was still an incredibly important story for me to tell. And so I worked very hard to rework that, to learn from all the mistakes I'd made. And I think that, the beauty of that is that the people who are in those videos are able to tell their own stories rather than me trying to force them into a mold or a template.
And what happens to people, and again, describing again the interactive process, people mm-hmm. just go into a booth. Are they prompted to answer particular questions or just respond in any way they...
I basically want whatever they have to say. I have the task of curating that at the end, but... basically, there's the only instruction is just to speak their mind, speak their opinion. And there's a big red button that they push and they've got 5 minutes.
You've been taking these photos for years, obviously a large collection. You had to get it down to just a few. How did you decide?
Well, I recently counted in digital alone, not including the film work that I've done as well, well over 100,000 photographs of figures. And I had narrowed that down to about 40 images that I liked. With the target of 20 in mind, and my wife, my wonderful, amazing, patient, helpful wife, sat with me, looked through all 40 that I'd picked out, helped me pick 20, or actually helped me pick 18 out of that, and then told me two that I'd forgotten that I needed to include. And then the 16 in the show, Laura Ritchie, who's the director of the Carrick, helped me narrow that down a little bit more so that it fits the space itself.
Talk about that, your experience at the Carrick, because the Carrick really has as a philosophy to be a kind of a community incubator for art, to make art deliberately mm-hmm. And profoundly interactive.
Well, you know, I can't say enough wonderful things about the Carrick, not just because I have a show there right now, but because they've played a vital role in me feeling comfortable calling myself an artist. 3 years ago, when the Carrick was first started, I had what I thought was going to be a 15-minute conversation with John Windelbow, who was the founder. It turned into 2 hours of him mostly telling me that how to be an artist, how to be comfortable with being an artist. And then Laura and John, over the years, have been pulling me into finally submitting to community shows and telling me to submit, and also introducing me to the arts community in the Triangle, in Durham in particular. When I conceived of the show, that interactive element, not just viewing the videos, but speaking in the space, people having those conversations physically there, I couldn't think of any place but the Carrick, just because it is so focused on community involvement.
I'm talking today about BEAR, Conversations on Human Art and Oral Histories on the Nude, here on The State of Things. My guest is Dan Smith. He's a photographer and a social science a scientist who has mounted the exhibit at the Carrick Modern here in Durham. You recently had kind of shot a performance video, right? You did sort of performance art as conversation. Tell us about that.
I did. I wanted to draw back the curtain, I guess. A lot of my friends, even my wife, when we first started dating, figured that the photo shoot was some sort of late night cable TV kind of experience with the Bomb Chicka Wow Wow music. And I wanted to show that not only is it require incredible skill, not just by the artist, the photographer, but by the model as well. But also to show how almost antiseptic, at least the way I shoot is. I wanted to have an audience, something very uncomfortable for me. I'm not used to having more than just the person I'm working with in the studio, maybe a friend or a spouse if they brought them along, but that's about it. And instead having six people watching, you know, and see the process, not just of how I photograph, but how the amazing model I worked with, whose name is Erica J, how she poses, how the collaborative relationship. And then also to see how the image that as I'm viewing it through the viewfinder is very different than what they're seeing in the natural light in the space.
Are there common themes that you've heard in your conversations about nude art?
A lot of people, at least the ones who I know who have been expressed in the past some discomfort with the subject matter, have expressed kind of shock at how comfortable they could get very quickly, or how human the people in the videos are, especially when they've seen photographs of these people, you know, and they it's almost this mythic experience that where they're, you know, they're bigger than life in these images, and then they're human beings when they're talking about, you know, having to hide, having the embarrassment of their little brothers back home, having to deal with the fact that they're a professional model and that their nude images are in museums and whatever. So, you know, that's been the common theme. And also just people's, like I said, people's own surprise at how comfortable they are with the subject matter on the wall.
Well, how about you? Have you grown more comfortable telling people what you do?
I have. I'm on the radio telling everyone now.
You use this name, Dan Smith. That's not your real name.
It is.
Oh, okay.
Actually, I've had conversations at length. People think that's a fake name. It used to be worse when I was checking in hotels, but the
Nude models, no less.
No, not with nude models. Okay. With my wife, right. Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. But you know, there was a degree of anonymity. I looked recently. There's 14,000 Dan Smiths in the U.S. alone. For a long time on Facebook, most people knew me. My avatar was my right eye. And it was nice to have that anonymity. And then once Laura pointed me out at one of the community shows.
Laura Ritchie at the Carrick.
I no longer was anonymous. And I could no longer play Wallflower. And so getting pulled into conversations as an artist, which terrified me.
Dan Smith is an artist, a Durham-based photographer. His exhibit, BEAR, Conversations on Human Art, Photography, Photographs and Oral Histories on Nude. On exhibit at the Carrick Art Museum in Durham through August 23rd. We can give you details and some images, in fact, at our website, stateofthings.org. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you for having me, Frank.
Coming up next, a revival of the work of a once famous Yiddish writer. Stay tuned.